Yeah, that happened all the time with former Cubs manager Joe Maddon. When I was part of the pre- and post-game shows over there, you know, Joe Maddon, it wasn't like anything that he was letting us know that was crazy news, but it was just so you know, here's why I might not use this guy out of the bullpen in this situation. Don't say anything because I can't give, obviously, the opposing team a competitive advantage, but here's why Pedro Strop might not come in the eighth inning, wink, wink, understand. So just for your notes while you're following the game, while you're watching the game, commenting on the game, and everybody else is going crazy, why the hell are they not putting in Strope in that situation? Well, here's why. What, you know, whether it was there is a little injury or he's tired or just not available today, and we're not going to let the other team know, but so you guys know. So that kind of stuff happens all the time, where they're not talking out of school, where the players aren't telling us. Bears players are not telling me things that they're not supposed to tell me, but they're just kind of telling me for my info so I know, and so I don't say anything stupid, you know, which I think
sure.
is helpful from their side, you know?
So which Bears assistant coach would you most be interested in talking to today and why?
I think Juan Castillo, and he was one of the guys that we did speak to. It just there's so many questions right now about the offensive line. There are questions about the offensive line before the injury that occurred to James Daniels. There was already questions about it, and in my opinion, they probably were already thinking about the potential of maybe changing some things personnel wise. But James Daniels goes down. The 2 weeks in a row now, things have not looked right in terms of blocking. In particular, 2 weeks ago, give him a little bit of an excuse this past week, because when you fall down 13 points, that's a different animal, and that's something that you have to make up for with the passing game. But, you know, like I said, Juan Castillo not giving us too many specifics about what needs to be better, other than saying, you know, fundamental differences and changes. I did actually have a one-on-one conversation with Jermaine Ifedi, and
he's had a really good year.
He really has. He really has. And it's heartening, too, because this is a former first-round pick, a guy who was penalized like hell with Seattle, and one of those guys that when he left Seattle, everybody was like, okay, good, he's not on our team anymore. But you knew that he had kind of what it takes to be really good. When the Bears had that first lousy run game against the Colts, I was talking to Ifedi about that for the pregame show, and he said that they were doing something, the Colts were doing something that hadn't been done with defenses in the first 3 weeks with Detroit and the Giants and Atlanta, that the Colts did that every team now is going to put on tape, where they had the Bears offensive line on their heels, and that look out now, it's a copycat league, his words, and now every team is going to do it. I haven't figured out exactly what it is that defensive lines might be doing to the Bears offensive line to push them back a couple extra yards at this point, but it's something that somebody figured out, and now it's up to Juan Castillo and the Bears offensive line to readjust, to get back to where they were for the first three games, because it was actually really good for the first 3 weeks against Detroit, the Giants, and Atlanta, where the offensive line truly looked different. David Montgomery looked different, and now it seems like it's regressed back to what it looked, more of what it looked like last year. So it was interesting hearing from Castillo today.
I don't think Alex Barrs is the answer at left guard from what I saw. I might not be fair to judge him in just that small sample, but just physically, he didn't look ready for it.
Especially right out of the gates, man. I mean, right away, he gets run over, basically, and Tampa Bay gets a sack. You know, it's he's a guy, you know, look, he's an undrafted free agent initially. He's a guy that barely squeaked onto the roster, had been a practice squad guy. So and they are not they were asked directly about Alex Barrs today. Juan Castillo was, and he did the old, he's a good kid, he tries hard. So when you hear that, that's usually not necessarily glowing praise for the work that he does. I wouldn't be shocked if they try things. Like Alex Barrs might get the go this week against Carolina. Look for them to possibly maybe give Rashad Coward another look, another go in there. He could play all positions pretty much. He worked at tackle and guard during training camp. Jason Spriggs is there. He is healthy. I was watching him closely on the sidelines to see if he was going to be one of the guys to come in. So I promise you they will try things. They are not in any way, shape, or form married to Alex Bars. Like I said, no promises because he wasn't drafted, not, you know, necessarily, you know, super highly thought of coming out of Notre Dame, but certainly somebody they like. But they're gonna tinker and try different things for sure. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle this week.
Mark, we'll get out of your way. What do you have planned?
Dan, we are going to talk more Bears, and specifically I want to get into some things about the defense coming up right out of the gates here. We're also going to talk to Josh Nelson of the Sox Machine, get his thoughts on what's going down with the team and the new manager and the firing of the old manager, and Mark Potash, the naturally angsty Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times, will join us to talk about the Chicago Bears. I can't wait.
Don't assume he's naturally angsty. He could be artificially angsty. He could be taking angst-enhancing drugs.
It's very. You know what he told me, Dan, and you know him, so you're going to love this. He said that his ideal job in life, if he was doing radio, he said, no, I don't want to be a host. He's like, I want to be one of the producers that chimes in with stuff because that's what he does.
Perfect.
He's
yes.
got opinions, right? That's him.
Like, yeah, just sort of a professional antagonist. Yeah.
Right. Just every once in a while, I want to just jump on the mic and say, here's how it is, and then get off the mic. So that maybe we'll talk to Potsy about a future radio career in production.
Have fun.
Thanks, Dan. That's Dan Bernstein. I'm Mark. I guess this is where I take over. I'm Mark Rohde. I am in for Lawrence Holmes. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670, The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station. The Score!
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Groats is also on the Twitch stream. So if you want to take a look at him and the hair, because he's got the lettuce going today, and I dig it, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score.
Oh, hey. Hi, Lawrence. Yeah, I've got COVID hair, as I like to call it. I got one haircut during COVID. I just haven't gotten a second one yet. Oh, and I only got up about an hour ago. So, you know, there's all that. And so I've got coffee and LaCroix going right now. I got to tell you, Lawrence, Matt Nagy came in hot today. It is his usual press conference, as he does day after game. He had it at 10 o'clock this morning. And he came in with, one of my favorite words, Lawrence, is freaking. And he was coming in with the freakins hard, as in, you better be freaking detailed. This offense is not good enough right now. If I call a route and it calls for five steps and cut, I want five steps, not six cuts or six steps. So it sounds to me like his offensive players have been taking a few liberties, doing their own version of the Matt Nagy offense, and he's sick of it.
Sitting in for the vacationing Lawrence Holmes today is the Score's Mark Grody.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
I'll make you a bicycle. I'll do all the things that Lawrence Holmes does, just maybe not quite as well as Lawrence does them. And, by the way, I am not on Twitch right now, but I see that a link has been sent to me, so during the break, in just a little bit, I will get on Twitch. You twitched the samples. Yes, you twitched them so you could be on the radio. So I will make sure to be on Twitch shortly. And yeah, no, I've not gotten a haircut, so you could see the floppy. My hair has become the following. Unmanageable. So Twitch coming soon. Yeah, man, I am in here for Lawrence Holmes today, 12 to 2. I'm glad that you are with me. 312-644-6767 is the number. I'm on Twitter. You can find me there right now if you would like. You can follow me on Twitter. We can interact on Twitter. We can go back and forth on Twitter. At Mark Grody Sports is the way to do that. Follow me on Instagram. I don't do enough Instagram, so come follow me. Let's play on Instagram as well. I do put stuff up there, some sports stuff, some not sports stuff, some silly stuff, just like everybody. I put stuff up there. So, yeah, so follow me on Instagram. We can hang out there as well. As I was just telling Bernsey, we are going to talk White Sox in just a little bit with Josh Nelson of the Sox Machine podcast. Love talking to Josh. I can't wait to hear his reaction to everything that went down yesterday with the White Sox and the firing of Ricky Renteria and what it means in the bigger picture. And this is the day two coverage, so that means we get more into who it might be to replace Ricky Renteria, what it all means for the Chicago White Sox. We'll have Josh Nelson talk about that in just a little bit. 1 p.m., yes, Mark Podash from the Chicago Sun-Times to talk about the Chicago Bears. He was just on the Zoom meetings that I was a part of as the Bears assistant coaches were doing their things, getting a chance to talk to all of them. That is ongoing right now as well. So we'll get into the Bears and the Sox with a couple of guests as well. I want to talk about the Chicago Bears right now. And we all know about the deficiencies that exist with the Bears offense. And we can get into some of that later on as well. But there's something about the Bears that is not sitting well with me beyond the offense. You know what I don't like? You know what I really hate? Is the following phrase. Bend, but don't break. The bend but don't break defense. That's what the Bears defense is right now. People have said that. Matt Nagy has said that after games, that they bent but they didn't break. I hate the way it sounds. I don't like the way it looks. I don't like the way it feels. And another thing, Mr. Pot, look, I don't like seeing the big chunks that come from the bend but don't. It's living dangerously. From a perspective of watching, I know for fans, it's stressful to watch that. It feels like a big 100-yard gamble. Like, we know that you might hold the opposition to a field goal at the end, but those big chunks leading up to it, they're just stressful. And eventually you're going to get burned. And yeah, look, the Bears defense, they have earned the benefit of the doubt for absolutely carrying this franchise for the last 2 years and change. But maybe I need to change my standards, but I do have a higher standard for the Bears defense. I have an elite standard for the Bears defense. I have a 2018 standard for defense. And maybe I need to get over it. Maybe that time has passed, but there's just too many of the same people that still exist from that roster. And I know the mentality from being around those players and what they want and what they expect from themselves too. So while it's been really good, the defense, I expect great and I expect elite. And what drives me crazy, I'm always shocked. Actually, shock is a better word. When I see running backs from oppositions of the Bears this year bursting through big holes against the Bears. First game of the year, the 35-year-old Adrian Peterson looking like the 25-year-old Adrian Peterson. Against Atlanta, Brian Hill, remember Brian Hill? The running back. 35-yard touchdown run for Atlanta. Todd Gurley was having his way, and Todd Gurley's not the same Todd Gurley. Colts went over 100 yards rushing, controlled the game with a run at the end. The other night against Tampa Bay, while there was many other interesting things going on in that game, Ronald Jones, meantime, was crashing through. 17 carries for 106 yards. It's a little bit jarring when I see running backs breaking through against the Bears defense. It's just something that I always thought at the minimal competency, essential competency for the Bears defense, that the run would be stopped. And yeah, crazy, occasionally somebody's going to break through, but it's just been at an alarming rate this year. I was part of the Zoom conversation yesterday with Akeem Hicks, the always thoughtful and entertaining Akeem Hicks, and I asked him about this concept that I don't like.
Hey, Akeem, what do you think about the connotation or the label of being a bend but don't break defense? Are you guys good with that?
It's definitely a football term, right? It's something that, during the course of a game, you don't have control of everything, especially when you're playing players like Tom Brady. Your job is to knuckle up when you need to, when your back is against the wall, how hard are you going to fight, right? And you see that when we step into the red zone, there is no quit in our defense. There is no give up. There is no go ahead, take this score, and we'll move on. We play football, and during the course of a football game, you're going to lose a rep or two. Your job is to come back and play to the best of your ability, having a short memory, a term that has become cliche. You got to be able to have that. You got to be able to say, hey, we didn't get the success that we wanted on first down. Matter of fact, they just got another first down. What are we going to do next? As far as the terminology, bend but don't break, whatever it is, we are going to play football, and that's what we believe in.
Yeah, the short memory part is good. It's a good mentality to have, and the red zone defense has been impressive. Teams are right now looking 7-for-19 against the Bears in the red zone this season as far as scoring touchdowns. That's good, 30-something percent. It's really good. I just expect A's out of the Bears offense, not B's. They're B's, you know, hey, man, B's are what I got through high school and college with. I expect A's. I expect A's from the Bears defense. So I'm setting a higher standard for the Chicago Bears. Now, missing Eddie Goldman. Now, that could be a real thing. And, of course, last year, the irony is that they were missing Akeem Hicks. And running backs were having their way at times last year. I mean, right away. Like, he leaves the Oakland game and Jacobs was bursting through against the Bears in London. And Eddie Goldman was a guy who did the dirty work. Sometimes he'd gobble up multiple blockers. And he's a guy, too, Eddie Goldman, who's got a little bit better every year of his career. And Hicks was asked about Eddie G as well.
I wouldn't imagine that this will be the last time I hear about us not having Eddie Goldman in the building and being able to play with him. And I think that just goes to show how important key player and a elite player that Eddie Goldman is. What we've done here is do our best to not replace, but continue to play football at a high level. And I think Bilal Nichols, John Jenkins, Brent Urban, right, Mr. Guitar Rock Out Solo, everybody has done their best in order to fill that hole that was left in our defense by losing Eddie Goldman. And I think that we've succeeded in a lot of ways. But like I said earlier in the earlier question, we're looking to improve in every facet of our game. I'm looking to improve in the areas that I'm deficient in. I'm sure Danny and Roquan and Eddie and Matt and everybody along the defensive, you know, front and secondary are looking to be better because we know that we're missing an elite player.
Yeah, I mean, you could almost say that there's been a ramp up for the Bears defense. I suppose that's fair to say with the lack of a preseason. And Hicks has been terrific this year. 3.5 sacks. He's had 5 tackles for loss coming off last year's injury. He's been really good. And we are broadcasting live from the 670 The Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. I'm Mark Grody, filling in for Lawrence Holmes today until 2 o'clock here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Josh Nelson talking White Sox in just a little bit with us from the Sox machine. Tackling has to be cleaned up for the Bears. A lot of missed tackles have occurred. The Khalil Mack game against Tampa Bay, it can't be understated, like, the importance of it. You saw this, how spectacular that game was, and it was fun to watch, and you enjoyed the moment for sure, but he looked like his old badass self again. There's that tiny part in the back of your brain, I know there was, with Khalil Mack, just because he's kind of been, he had 8.5 sacks last year. I mean, that was it for his season, and there was a slow decrescendo, it felt like, with his year trying to figure out what's wrong with Khalil Mack. Well, he's got all these blockers coming at him. Is he injured? And there's that little part in the back of your head where you're like, are his skills just declining? Is he just getting older? He's 29, going on 30. Are we just seeing the slight decline of a great player? Just that, it wasn't the overriding part, but just a small part where you needed to see dominant, spectacular, oh my God, Khalil Mack. And you saw it the other night, looking like 2018 Khalil Mack. And, you know, I think it's fair to say, and nobody is being very specific about it, that he was slowed by knee injury last year, and maybe even some this year. He's officially has been taken off the, at least last week he was taken off the injury report. Haven't gotten an official injury report yet. We'll get the first one tomorrow. But he'd been living on that injury report all year with the knee injury. He had been down as questionable. And now we find him full force, full go, taken off the injury list, and looking like Khalil Mack. So it was just incredibly important to see that. And, you know, one of the things, too, that some people were talking about is that, okay, well, Khalil Mack, he smelled blood in the water. You have a rookie covering him. There are some things that Tampa Bay was doing schematically, as in leaving Khalil Mack alone one-on-one with those guys. And, look, that's happened before. Like, even last year when it felt like we didn't know what was going on with Khalil Mack, there was plenty of